Let us have a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our hymnal session. Let us first sing hymn 400. Stanza.
More like Jesus when I pray, more like Jesus day by day, may I rest me by His side, where the tranquil
continue to sing the next hymn, hymn 483. Sing the next hymn, hymn 483. First stanza.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clear. The sunshine fill this inmost part with no other cloud between. Breathe on me, breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, take thou my heart, conserve it part, Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Second stanza.
Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, conserve it, part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Third stanza.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine, kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, conserve it, part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Last stanza.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee alone. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, conserve it, part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Let us sing the last hymn, hymn 262. Sing the last hymn, hymn 262.
Conscience me. keep it still, are we?
Last stanza.
Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The burden from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. Oh, may the leaves of mission pain I reawaken soul, and drive me to that grace again which makes the wound that whole.
Our hymnal session ends here. Let us prepare our heart for the service. Amen. May all glory be given unto his name.
Let us all bow heads in silent prayer to prepare our hearts for the service. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Sabbath worship. Let us sing hymn 136, 136. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that being. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, we give thanks to our Lord Jesus. Now we shall say our first prayer. So in our first prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus to guide and lead us in our Sabbath worship this morning. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray.
Hallelujah, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Or.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven, and that this morning we are able to gather for this online service. Indeed, it is the grace and the blessings of God. We give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. We also send greetings of peace to all our beloved brothers and sisters. May peace and joy of the Lord be given to all of us on this Sabbath day and on all those who observe the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, this morning, we shall continue to discuss the wishes and prayers of Moses, part 2. Now we shall continue to see Psalms 90. Previously, we have already studied Psalms 90, verse 12. So now we will continue to see Psalms 90, verse 13. Let's turn to the scriptures. Psalms 90, verse 13. Psalms 90, verse 13. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. So this is the wish and the prayer of Moses, where he requested the Lord God to return. So one who is humble and lowly, asking the exalted God to return. This is indeed a very profound teaching. So what does it mean to return? That is to turn his face around, to shine his light once again on the Israelites. Before this, the face of the Lord was turned away from them. That's why when Aaron blessed the people of Israel at that time, he has said these few words. That in these words, we can see that he actually asked that the Lord God's face be shown upon them, be able to shine upon them. That the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So for the face of the Lord to turn around is to shower his grace and peace. So, dear brothers and sisters, we may think of this question: what is faith? So faith is a type of relationship. So when God's face turns away from us, definitely there is problem in this relationship. That in our life in this world, our relationship is diverse because we have many relationships. From sons being a parent, from students to our school, our college, our university, to a worker or employee towards our employer, and then as a spouse or even family members towards our marital relationships And lastly, having children, that is our identities as parents. Therefore, the most important relationship of men from the Bible is their relationship with God, where this is the foundation and the basic of all relationship. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years has the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Man often looks at the result or the path of their life due to their own struggle or own strivings on this earth. So from the perspective of the scripture, it provides us another conclusion, that is because the Lord has been with them. Therefore, they have provided a good, or rather they have a good relationship with God. So here the scripture says, God abides with us. Hence, our relationship with God is good. Then in our life, we will feel that we lack nothing. Many people labor, but they lack the sense of security, that is the lack of connection with God. We may have nothing, but actually we have everything, just like Paul. Because God is with us, therefore we lack nothing. However, how is this relationship established? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. So here, the Lord God says, we will be the treasured possession of the Lord above all the people of the world. And he says here, but you shall be, or rather here the scripture says, you shall be the special treasured possession among all people. So we can see indeed, this is the special relationship that the Israelites had with God. Why? Because God loved them and had chosen them. But how are we to maintain this relationship? That is only by obeying the voice of God, that is His words, His commandments, and to keep His covenant. So when we say to obey the voice of God, it is only our theoretical learning and understanding. And when we keep His covenant, this is done in application of our daily lives. Then we continue to see verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So the priests, they are the individuals who have special status to stand before God. And when we talk about the kingdom of priests, it refers to the people without any obstacle able to stand before Him and serve Him. And then in verse 6 also mentioned, we are to be a holy nation, that is referring to a nation without sin. So this is the covenant of God with the Israelites. And God loved them, and the people had executed their part or responsibility towards this covenant as well. But later, this relationship suffered some problem. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, from verses 19 to 21. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 19 to 21. The Lord saw it and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. 21. They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So here, the people provoke God to jealousy. Why? It was by their foolish idols that the people worship idols and even turn to idols. So the covenant of God with the people was only these 10 commandments and not 10 suggestions for their reference only. It is the commandment with the authority of God. If we observe it, our relationship with God will be good. Therefore, today, the 10 commandments that we observe are not 10 suggestions or 10 proposals or 10 opinions for us to take as reference. It is not to say whether it is necessary to observe or not. But since this is a command of God, we have to observe. And our Lord have already said, those who observe his commandments, they will receive or enter eternal life. But the people of Israel, they worship idols. So the people had already broken the second commandment. So they went against the covenant that they had with the Lord God. So as a result, sin had broken their covenant with God. Their relationship with God was destroyed. And the future of the Israelites would then be very bleak. What happened? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, we see verse 28. Exodus chapter 32, verse 28. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. So as a result, 3,000 men died on that day. Why? Because they sinned against the Lord God by worshipping this golden calf. And then in verse 20, chapter 32, verse 20, he took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people drink it. So later, God also commanded them, commanded to crush this golden calf. And they were to burn the calf with fire, ground it to powder, and Moses scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel to drink it. And after which Moses ascended to the mountain and interceded for the people of Israel. So he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, as recorded in Exodus chapter 34. So he caused God then to return to the people. If the Lord did not return upon Moses' descent, the people would have been destroyed by God. But Moses continually prayed until God returned and renewed his covenant with the people. So today in our life of faith, we must also emphasize on the issue of sin. If we return to the Lord, what will be the response of the Lord? Let's see Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3. The book of Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3. Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. In this Bible verse, three times it has been mentioned, the Lord of hosts, meaning to say this is an important statement spoken by our Almighty Lord God. So here it tells us, if we return to the Lord will return to us. So if we fall short of God, then the grace and experience that we have with God would naturally reduce. If we do not remove sin, God will not abide with us. Therefore, it is important to repent from sins. But there are a few things in our life today that require us to repent and turn back to God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we see verse 18. Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So this is a very famous parable of the prodigal son. And verse 18, the words of the prodigal son when he returned. For at that time he has sinned against God and the Father. If we were to see from verses 11 onwards, he never thought of God at all. What he wanted was to enjoy and to stay further from his father. So this was a sin against his father. He spent all the accumulated wealth of the father, and he caused so much worry against his father. This is his sin against the father. If we have so many problems in our relationship with others in this world, this reflects the problem in our relationship with God. So why is this so? Let's see 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So these are the negative elements of human relationship, where we can see today, if we have so many problems in our relationship with others, this also shows that there is definitely a problem in our relationship with God. Why is this so? Because in human relationship here, it says, there are so many negative elements. For example, hatred, dislike. All this is in darkness. There is no love, where we are standing in opposition with God. So what is love? To be able to accept one another. When we accept one another, or accept them, we are giving them a chance for them to change. So all of us have our own weaknesses and flaws. So if Christ can accept it, can we not accept the flaws of our brethren? If we cannot accept, then we are not observing the teachings of the Lord. We are going against or not obeying the teachings of God then. Then our relationship with God will have problem. Therefore today it is important to examine our relationship with others, with fellow men in this life, in our life. A person's success is that he has no enemies at all in his life. For Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace. In the book of Isaiah tells us, he has a few titles, and among which was the Prince of Peace. So what does it mean by it? Meaning he wants to bring peace and harmony to this world. That he wants to build a good relationship for us with God, and so that we are also able to have a good relationship with men. So in order to build a good relationship with God, so we must be able to accept another despite all the flaws and offenses of others. Let's see 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we see verses 21 and 22. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So if our heart does not condemn us, so what does this heart refer to? So in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 15, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So here it tells us this is our conscience. So today, all of us have this conscience, that after baptism, it is very sensitive, especially so when we have the Holy Spirit. If our conscience does not prick, then we can stand before God in confidence without fear. So what does this refer to? Having a good relationship with God. So when God descended upon Mount Sinai, the people trembled with fear. They were afraid. They have this fear of death if they were to speak to God. But Moses was able to speak to God face to face. This is to meet the Lord without fear. If we walk in the light, our conscience will be pure. Therefore, we must often examine our conscience. At times, the laws of the country can cause our conscience to be blinded or even numb, where we try to find ourselves an excuse or a logic to cover ourselves. So our conscience must be refined and be made pure by the Holy Spirit. Just like Paul, he did everything by his conscience, which was clear before the Lord. Next, let's see James chapter 4. James chapter 4, the book of James chapter 4, verse 16. James 4, verse 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So if God deem us in this manner, as seeing we are boastful, we are arrogant, so there is definitely a problem in our relationship with God. So in this example, what did this person, what has he done wrong? So in verse 13 to 15, it talks about a wise trader who makes good plan for his life. But why did God conclude that this merchant's action was as boasting and arrogance? Let's see verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you do not know, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So this person is a very good planner. Yes, today in our life, we all plan very well. We want to do this at this particular moment. We want to do that in the next moment of our lives. Even we also make use of a lot of gadgets, equipments to plan our life. But why did God conclude that this trader's action was boasting and arrogance? Isn't it planning good? Yes, we do not deny. Today in our life, planning is necessary, is important. However, in the midst of our planning and planning of all these things, have we ever considered God in our lives? Have we ever put God in this plan? So in this plan of this person or this trader or this merchant, so-called to speak, he did not include God. God was totally kicked out of his plan. He was not in the plan. He became the master of his own life. So what is life? So in verse 14 tells us, what is life? Life is only but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. All of us have seen mist. Appears for a little while and then disappear. So our life is also short in that sense. It appears a little while and then it disappears. So similarly today, our life, yes, we don't deny. We plan a lot of things. We write what we want to do this year, next year, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next week, next hour. Yes. But who is the one who execute this plan? That at the end, have we forgotten God in this plan? Did we even include God in this plan? Did we even have God inside the picture of our plan? Many a times we do not. So we often have seen this example, and even in the scripture tells us that that this trader here, he became the master of his life. He passed a very self-centered life upon himself. So as a result, this life, the Lord saw was something not pleasing to the eyes of God. Just like our Lord Jesus has also mentioned the parable of the rich fool in the gospel books, in Luke chapter 12, from verses 16 to 21. He was also planning a lot of things, because at that time, he was smart to saying that, oh, he has so much crops to store. So what is he going to do? So he planned to tear down, to build, to store all these things. And then he even planned for his soul that after all these things is done, his soul can take rest. He can relax himself, enjoy already. But yet, he has forgotten God in his life. That's why the author of James, Elder James, continued to tell us that the most important thing is whether the Lord wills or not. If the Lord wills, we will be able to do this or to do that. If the Lord does not permit, whatever we do will be in vain. That's why in the book of Psalms tells us, unless the Lord watches, the watchman watches in vain. Unless the builder builds, unless the Lord permits the builder to build, the builder will have done all in vain. So similarly today in our life, let us ask ourselves, are we able to do things that are pleasing to God? Or have we sought the Lord God in the matters of our life? So only if God wills, we can do this or that. Because our life is in the hands of God. Just like right now, when we face the pandemic, COVID-19, who knows that within a short period of a few months, the virus will have spread throughout the world, to all the nations of the world. Many people are suffering. Even many people in the world are dying because of it. It is just within a few months, who would think all these things will happen? And eventually now, the next question is, what will happen after this pandemic is over? The after effects of it. So many people are saying the economy will fall into recession. So as a result, the worry of the people next will come in. Am I going to lose my job? How am I going to pay up my bank loans, my car loans? How am I going to fend my family? Because my company is sacking me, is firing me. My company is toppling. My company is being wrapped up. We have already heard there are a lot of companies which are going to go into bankruptcy because of this pandemic. Isn't it frightening? So today, yes, maybe we have planned a lot of things. But execution of it is in the hands of God. Therefore, when we plan, our plan must include certain flexibility to include God to change it. Jesus is known as the Lord Jesus. In the Chinese, it's very clear. 主耶稣, Lord Jesus. Meaning to say the master of our life is Jesus. Where he created us and redeemed us by using his own blood from sin and the evil one. So today we are not of our own, just as the Bible says, we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. So this is humility, not only by of outward appearance of rejection by our heart, but rather in total submissiveness and obedience to the sovereignty of God. So today, dear brothers and sisters, we need to humble ourselves before God. Because if we boast and arrogant, our relationship with God will be a problem. It will also cause more than one problem or more problems. Next, let's see another example. James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So what do we mean by enemy of God? That is opposite relationship with God. So we can see here, he calls us you adulterous people. So it's not referring to the physical relationship, but rather of our spiritual relationship with God. If in a marriage, there is the intrusion of a third party, this is already an early sign or even an indicator of divorce. We want to reiterate one point here. In the church today, marriage is between one man and one woman, not including a third party into it. And the intrusion of a third party, which causes the life, the married lives of this man and this woman, will be affected, even to the extent of divorce. Therefore, in the church, whenever we talk about the divorce, we often encourage our, especially during matrimonies in the church, holy matrimonies in the church, we have emphasized again and again, divorce is not permitted unless sexual immorality. So today, very importantly, we must know, we must not allow a third party to intrude into this marriage, lest divorce will step in. Divorce is not a term not even to be thought of, not to be spoken of by the people today. It is not, we have just, I like it today, I do it, I don't want, I just throw it away. This is not the way of our life. So today, when we talk about this, our relationship with God is the same. If there is a presence of a third party or something replacing God, taking the position of God in our heart, this is already a third party. And this will provoke jealousy by the Lord God. So dear brothers and sisters, please be very careful. That's why the Lord God was very unpleased when the people worshipped the golden calf instead of the Lord God. Because the golden calf had taken over the position of God in their heart, had taken over the state of their mind, no longer to worship the Lord God who brought them out of Egypt. So this, therefore, the Lord God was very angry. His wrath came down and even wanted to destroy the people. So today, dear brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves, are we worshipping the unseen idols of our life? Have we replaced God in our life? So today, this is something for us to think, that today in our life of faith, how have we performed? Have we done something according to the command of God? Have we done something that is pleasing to Him? Or all the time we have always incurring the wrath of God by replacing God in our heart? The state, God has a throne in our heart. But now we have put another thing to replace. Definitely God is not pleased. This will definitely cause God to be jealous, and God will also punish all those who do this. Next, let's see James chapter 4, verse 5. James chapter 4, verse 5. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, He yearns jealously over the spirit that He has made to dwell in us? So here it tells us, our values and lifestyle tend to be more of the world. So we become friend of the world. So those who make himself a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So today, in our relationship with God, the most important thing we have is His grace. God has given us grace. But all we think of is just to enjoy this grace. So this grace becomes an obstacle. But we have forgotten about God in our life. So how are we to change this concept of life? So we must pray to God and ask God to return in our life by seeking His mercy. So dear brothers and sisters, just now we have already seen from Psalms 90 verse 13 concerning the prayer of Moses that he asked that the Lord God to return. So we pray that Lord Jesus Christ will be able to give us wisdom as we see the word of God, as by looking at the prayer of Moses, that is also reflect upon our life of faith. Our short sermon shall end here. All glory to God. Now let's sing our concluding hymn, 351. 351.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. Every day, give unto each day what He deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling thoughts. with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His gentle and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this a pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, help to take from us from Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. Now we shall say our concluding prayer. So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus to continue to guide each and every one of us in our life of faith. We also pray that our Lord Jesus will continue to be with those who are physically weak, ill, or spiritually weak. May the grace of our Lord Jesus also be given unto them. We also pray for one another. We pray for the church, and also we pray for the church. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray.
Hallelujah, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
Our morning Sabbath shall end here. All glory to God. Amen.